Alrighty, Wake, how we feeling? We good? We still awake? I love it. Amazing. Well, guys, I need you to get your Bibles, your journals out, because we are continuing our More Than a Feeling series. This is the last message in our series. I know we took a break for Easter last week, but we are back and closing out this series strong. And so if you got your Bible, you got your journal, I'm going to be sharing a lot of scripture this morning, and I hope you guys take some notes. And so you can go in a small group this week with some takeaways. And so if you're new here, or this is your first time, or you've been with us for a while, I just want to give an overview of this series. So basically, the More Than a Feeling series, we've been talking about God's good design for sex. And I know when we hear that, our natural inclination is probably to feel awkward or to make a joke. But I want to encourage you guys that God has designed this thing to be beautiful in the right context. And the Bible talks a lot about it. So we're going to talk about it. And we believe that the church is the safest place to talk about this topic. And so if you have questions or you're confused, we encourage you to talk to your leaders about it. Talk to one of us about it. And we'd love to guide you along something that in a topic that Scripture is very, very clear in. And so as we set up our time, the first week, we talked about God's good design specifically. We just said in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, we said that God, right here is on the screen, God simply, as he created the world, he said, be fruitful and increase in number. Meaning that as God created the world, that sex was on his mind, that he created it. Therefore, it is good because God in his nature is good. And because he designed it, he gets to define it. And so we want to look in God's word for that definition. And then the second week, we talked about how culture has twisted it. The common lies that we can be tended to believe because the culture is selling us this incomplete and inconsistent definition of sex. Where we can be confused if we don't anchor our heart and our mind in God's truth. And we start there. So we believe God's word has the power to change our lives. That's why we're going to go back to it every single time and get our definition for this topic straight in God's word. And so as we start, I want to ask a question. Think about this just to yourself. What is the greatest view that you have ever seen in your entire life? So I'm talking about maybe you went on a trip and you went to, you know, the mountains or the beach, or you saw this amazing sunrise. What is the greatest view that you've ever seen? Think about it. For me, it was a few years ago, my wife and I took a trip to Arizona, and we went to Sedona, and in Arizona, they're known for having incredible sunsets, and there was this specific area called Cathedral Mountain, or Cathedral Hill, where you would walk up, and you would get to look out and see the beauty of this sunset. And you had to get there in the right time. And it took a lot of effort to get up there. We were literally like lunging up this cliff and sidestepping and jumping and crawling because we had to get there in the right moment to get there and to set ourselves up to be in a position that we could see this amazing, amazing sunset. And so here's a picture of what it kind of looked like. And so I know sunsets the pictures don't typically do it justice, but this is what we looked out and got to see. And so you got to see every color, red, orange, green, blue, and just honestly, it was breathtaking. Where you got to look out and be like, wow, God created that, and it's beautiful. It was amazing. And so I start there is because my heart in this series, but specifically in this message, is to try to put you guys in a position to see and experience God's beauty. Where in this life, it's going to take some disciplines. You're going to have to take some self-control. You're going to have to take a path that might be difficult at times. But we believe that God's heart is to put you on a path and a position to experience the beauty of life. And experience life to the full. That no good thing does he withhold to those who walk with him. And he wants you to experience that kind of view of the world and of people and of others. He wants to give us more life and more joy. And what happens, I believe, is what we settle for this picture, is we settle for a dull and incomplete picture of God's beauty. And it's because culture has tempted us and swayed us and lied to us about what God's good design for sex looks like. And so when you look at that picture, it's depressing. No one wants to see that view. No one wants to put themselves in that position to work that hard and see something that's so dull and boring. And I think we can settle for that picture if we don't understand God's design. And so I'm going to give you guys four quick points, four takeaways this morning about how you can live in light of the few things that we've talked about at Wake, how you can make this practical for your life, how you can pursue God's good design for sex now. What does that mean for you today? That most of you guys aren't getting married very soon, and so this really does apply to you. And so how can you make this applicable? And so we're going to be talking about four points. So if you got your journals, you got your Bibles, we're going to go ahead and get started. And the verse I want to share as we do that is Matthew 5:8. Is this. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." I love that verse. It's a simple verse, but blessed simply means content, happy, joyful, that God wants us to be content and joyful. And we do that through a pure heart, an undivided heart, as we just sang about. That purity of heart always leads to a better perspective of God. And so that's our desire for this series and for specifically this message. So if you're taking notes, the first point I want to make is this. Is to know your Bible and know your standards. How can you walk faithfully with God in this specific area? It's number one, know your Bible and know your standards. We're going to share a lot of scripture, and we already have, but we believe that when you know your Bible, God has given you a standard and a way of living that's going to set you up and put you on a path towards peace, as I mentioned. But the problem a lot of times is we set standards in our lives, and we simply shift those standards based on the environment that we are in. Like, we'll have a belief, but if that belief costs us something, or we have to do something that we have to stand out or look like we're not going to fit in, what we're tempted to do is simply blend in to culture and become a camouflaged Christian. And what standards do in our lives is standards are basically drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, I know God's word says this, and I'm committed to living by this regardless of the cost. And so here's what a standard is. A standard is something in line with God's will that you determine beforehand. A standard is something in line with God's will that you determine beforehand. And when I think about standards, there's this one man in the Bible in your Old Testament named Daniel. Most of you have probably heard of him. Daniel in the lion's den is a famous story. But Daniel was a teenager, when he had to set a standard in his life, that he was thrown into captivity in a foreign nation where he had an opportunity to choose. Was he going to follow God, or was he just going to try to fit into the culture? Was he going to try to just be popular or live by God's standard? And so this verse is one of my favorite verses for teenagers to share with them, because he sets in place a conviction that he lives by. Here's what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verses 8. It says, in the beginning of his life, right when he's thrown into captivity, this is what Daniel does. But Daniel made up his mind. I love that. Like, he's drawing a line in the sand. He's saying, I'm not crossing it, regardless of what happens. I don't care if I'm tempted. I don't care if it costs me. I'm going to draw a line in the sand and make up my mind to build a boundary in my life that I'm not going to cross. It says he made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So basically, in this culture that he was in, they were tempting him to eat these certain foods that were dishonoring God. And he just said, hey, I'm not going to do that. He built a boundary early. He built a boundary early. And there's tons of examples of people who did this in God's word. I think about David in your Old Testament, Psalm 101:3. Just says this, I'll throw it on the screen. I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. What David just says, here's my standard. I know you live in 2022, guys, and there are a lot of things, a lot of distractions on your phone or in media or on commercials or shows that you watch or music. And what you can be tempted to believe, if you don't have a standard, is you can just look at whatever you want and not have a conviction. And what David does in the scripture, he's just like, hey, I'm going to set my eyes before everything that is pure, to keep my mind and my heart clean, to not be distracted. That was a standard. I love what Job says. Job in 31:1 just says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman. So he's just saying, hey, I, I'm going to commit to this because I believe this is God's best for me. I know that it can be hard and challenging. It's going to take self-control. But God wants to put me in a position to get the best possible view of his beauty. And that means I got to make a standard in my life. So examples of this. This is what I want you guys to talk in your small groups or with your community about, is what are things that you can do right now to set you up better for tomorrow or for later, whenever you're in a moment of temptation. So maybe it's this. I wrote down a few. Maybe it's just, I want to make sure I'm guarding my eyes so I'm keeping my mind clean. Whatever it is, I'm going to guard my eyes. That's a standard. I'm going to protect others by the way I dress. Maybe I'm just going to protect others from being tempted, so I'm just going to just be cautious about the way I dress and how it could tempt other people. Maybe I'm going to guard my mouth from sharing things about guys or girls to objectify them. Instead, I'm going to use my mouth to bring blessing to others, to see people as God's valued possession, to see others as God would intend them and not objectify them through my words. What are your standards? What are your standards that you've put in place? And I think the problem in this area is that we set our standards in the moment of temptation. Like we decide right when we're up to that line or right when we're up to that decision, hey, what you're going to live for. And here's the point I want to make is this, that you make decisions in present moments of strength that will help you in future moments of weakness. That you would decide right now with your small group, here's what I'm going to live by. Here's what path I'm going to choose because I know it leads to life. I know God doesn't withhold any good thing to those who walk with him. I know God has my best interest in mind. So regardless of what it's going to cost me, I'm going to make a decision now to set me up for the moment I'm tempted, just like Daniel. When Daniel was tempted, he already made up his mind that he wasn't going to cross it. And so I pray that you guys would set that standard in your life. Let's keep going. So this is one, know your Bible and know your standards. Next one, let your standards be known to others. Let your standards be known to others. That you guys are considered Gen Z, which is ages 6 to 20, which Gen Z is known to be the loneliest generation of all time that have ever existed. That you guys, that your generation is more disconnected, even though you're more connected through media, than ever before. And that's why we speak on this every week, the value of being known, because it is so easy to disconnect. And this is a simple thing, but it's God's strategy for you to find life and to find victory in this area, is that you would let your standards be known to others. I love what 1 Peter 5:8 because it's just a battle strategy for how to have victory. It just says this, stay alert, watch out, your great enemy, the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So right here, we see that the enemy, your adversary, is compared to a lion. We know, if you've ever watched the Discovery Channel, that lions always hunt by taking someone or an animal from the herd and attacking it. It's the same strategy. They never run into a herd. They always isolate an animal. And in the same way, we're getting a picture here of how the enemy wants to attack us, to isolate us, to say, hey, small group is not for my benefit. I don't need connection. I don't need to read my Bible. I can stay in the dark. I can not tell anyone the secret about my life. I never have to share this. That's what the enemy wants to make you believe. We want to encourage you that God has intended us to be known, that we are protected when we are connected. We are always protected when we're connected with other believers, to stay alert, be watchful, to share with other people if you have something in your life. This is a part of my story. When I was in college, I remember I had a leader in my life, an influential leader in my life, that I knew I needed to go share some things that I was struggling with. And when I finally did, I invited him in. I remember immediately finding victory. That I said, hey, this is what I need help with. Here's my standard. Will you help hold me accountable? And he did. And I began to walk slowly but surely towards freedom. So if you have a struggle or if you have a temptation that you haven't shared vocally to a leader or a friend that you need accountability in, that's our goal. That you wouldn't walk out of here without sharing that, because that's God's desire for your life. Here's what it says in Proverbs 28:13. He who covers his sins, basically mistakes, his guilt, his failure, his regret, will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. I think another way to say this verse, it's kind of pithy, but we say it around here at Watermark a lot, is this, is a heart that is well is a heart that tells. A heart that is well is a heart that tells. Meaning that when you share, when you are open and honest, it is a sign of healing. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength because your heart is well. So we encourage you towards that, all right? So you would let your standards be known to others. Let your standards be known to others. And last two, number three is flee from any and all sexual immorality. Flee from any and all sexual immorality. And so to illustrate this point, who all has been to an escape room? I mean, most of y'all, they're way outdated now. Like no one goes. Has anyone been to an escape room in the last 6 months? Okay, so you guys actually still go to escape rooms. Awesome. Well, they're really fun. And how many of you have gotten out of escape room? Like literally you have, were you the one who got you out? Or was it your friends? I'm always relying on somebody else to help me solve the clues. But anyways, I went in this escape room. This is a bad picture, but here's an example. I think someone took this selfie. So we're in like this back room with some friends, some coworkers, and they made us put on these blindfolds where we'd have to walk in this room so we could not see what clues were around us. And we walk into this room, I think it was like a hostage theme or like maybe a 007 theme, I don't know what it was. But basically we walk in this room and you had no idea what was around you. You couldn't take the blindfolds off until they locked the door. And as we were in this room, I remember that there were so many decisions that we had to make, that every decision was so important because every decision would either lead to your further captivity and bondage and you would stay in that room, or the decision would be towards your freedom. Like you had two different directions to go. Like you could go and make a decision that would potentially solve the clue and get you out, or a decision that would further lead to you getting stuck in that room. And I think the escape room is a really good illustration for where we're going, is that every decision that you guys make, you have an opportunity to make a decision towards freedom or make a decision that leads to captivity, that leads to bondage. Here's what 2 Timothy 2:22 says. It says this, "So flee youthful passions, meaning lust, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart." And so this is what this verse is saying. It's saying, hey, flee youthful passions. It's basically saying, hey, don't flirt with that. Don't be tempted. Don't see how close you can get to the line. It's simply saying, run in the opposite direction. Don't try to fight this temptation. Run in the opposite direction. A lot of times I think we negotiate with our temptations. We're like, hey, maybe I can get close to this line, or maybe no one will ever know. Maybe I can continue to scroll or look at this link or talk about this thing, and no one will ever know about it. We get close to the line. And what Paul's saying to Timothy right here, he's saying, hey, run in the opposite direction. Run in the opposite direction. Like the key to victory is to flee, is to flee. And so here's some ways that you can practically flee youthful passions. Is this, maybe it's, hey, I'm not going to sleep with my phone next to my bed because I know that's a point of temptation for me. Maybe it's, I'm not going to listen to certain music because I know it fills my mind and my heart with different suggestive content that's not helpful for me. Maybe it's, I'm going to do research before I watch a certain movie, or I'm not going to have certain apps on my phone because they lead to temptation. And the second part of this verse is my favorite part, and it really gives us the solution. That I think a lot of times we can just believe that Christianity is like just is refined to like just avoiding bad things. That's all it is. And what Paul says here is, no, Christianity is pursuing the right things, pursuing God's best. So here's what it says in the second part of 2 Timothy 2:22. Throw it back up on the screen. It says, not flee, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on God from a pure heart. So the solution isn't just to put all these barriers in place and white knuckle it and just do it out of your own strength to find freedom from temptation. No, the solution is simply to love God more. So my question for you guys, write this down. What can I do this week to love God more? That's a great question to ask yourself. What can I do this week to simply love God more? Maybe it's that It really is. Maybe it's listening to worship music because that helps stir your affections for God. Maybe it's, I'm going to look at this piece of scripture because I know this will help me in my area of temptation. Maybe it's simply getting around community of people that help you love God more. That is how we fight. We fight our temptation by starving out things in our life that aren't helpful and feeding our desire for God, loving him more, loving him more. And so that's number three, is to flee from any and all sexual immorality. And as we close, the last point I want to make is talking about relationships, specifically dating relationships. I think, like some of you, if you're not talking about it, you probably will start talking about it, but that's a main topic of conversation for some of you is dating. And I want to talk about that really quick as we close, because I think a lot of times we can misuse the purpose of dating. That the purpose of dating is to answer one simple question and profound question. It's, who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? That is the purpose of dating, is to answer that one question. But so many times we use dating as a status and not a process. That we see it as a way to make ourselves feel better, that we just want something for Valentine's Day, or we just want to be more popular. And so we pursue dating with the intention just to make ourselves feel better. But we know that dating is a process of evaluation to determine who are you going to spend the rest of your life with. And so it's an important decision. And so my advice here is this, is that you would prepare for your future role. That you would spend your teenage years not focusing on who you're going to end up with, but focusing on who you're becoming. Because that's the most important thing. To prepare for your future role of marriage. How many of you guys know who Justin Bieber is? Wow. Some of y'all aren't raising your hands, which is surprising. Justin Bieber is an example. I think there's others. Katy Perry. I don't even know if you guys know who Shia LaBeouf is, or Britney Spears. But all these people are celebrities that got popular when they were young. Like, they're childhood celebrities. And they got so popular, like Biebs got really popular off Baby and all his hit classics, and like got on YouTube and then took off. And then other people, like they were on the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon, and they started at a young age in the spotlight, immediately put into a position that they were not ready for. And what typically happens to childhood celebrities? When they get older, they typically fall off. They typically have something bad happen to them. They typically make bad decisions. And the reason is because they were never set up well. They never prepared for the moment to be in the spotlight. They never took the opportunity to mature, to develop their character, to spend time on self-control and developing certain disciplines. They simply moved into something that they weren't ready for. They didn't prepare, and it cost them. And what you see time and time again is their future hurts. And our encouragement as we close, our encouragement is this, that you guys would spend your years right now preparing for that future role. Preparing. That you wouldn't just run to something without preparing. 1 Timothy 4:12 gives us the outline of what you guys can do to focus on in this time, in your young teenage years, is this. To set an example for believers in these things, your speech, your conduct, your faith, your love, and your purity. Focus on these things. This is how you prepare. It would be foolish for you to try to run a marathon without ever training. Like, imagine you just got up to the starting line, you had never run in your life, and you just had to take off. You would do awful. You would do awful because you always have to train and prepare before you participate, right? And that is our heart, that you would focus on who you're becoming, that you wouldn't worry about dating relationships until you are ready, until you can understand the answer to that one simple question: who am I going to spend the rest of my life with? Okay? Proverbs 19:2 just says this. That'll be on the screen. We're almost done, y'all. It says this: a person without knowledge is no good. A person in a hurry makes mistakes. A person in a hurry makes mistakes. So we pray that you guys focus truly on those things, the person that you're becoming. Because guess what? I'm going to show a last video of the view that I talked about at the beginning. And we'll close with this. So take a look at the screen. So this is me filming my ascent up to that really cool hilltop. So you get to see just a picture of what is all around me. You see the clouds, the sunset, the orange color, the beauty of God's creation. And I turn around on the other side, it's more amazing, right? And that, hey, listen up. We're almost done. Y'all, that is what happens when you follow God's plan for purity, is that he puts you in a perspective where you get to enjoy something more beautiful than you ever thought. That it's not just a picture, it's a 360 view where you get to experience everything that he has for you. And that's what we want. We don't want you to see this as a checklist or a bunch of rules to follow, but a plan, a path towards peace, a map to guide you towards more life. All right? All right, let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would follow your design. We would follow your plan. That you would have us be led by your Spirit. I pray if there's anyone feeling guilt or shame in this area, Lord, I pray that you help them walk towards freedom. I pray that they would share that. They would be open and honest. They would have a conversation with their parents or their small group leaders about ways that they need to be held accountable or ways that they need to find freedom, because you desire no one to walk in shame. But you said that we are a new creation when we walk with you. And so I pray we'd walk out of these doors confident to embrace a world that is confused, and we'd hold closely to your word. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great week of worship. We'll see you next time.